But if this person would allow me to do the driving. And finally, after several times, this person resisted. Because this person just wanted to be in the driver's seat. Takes control. And keeps on driving. Until you keep running out of energy most of the time. And the moment this person says, Lord, I surrender all. You be the driver. Suddenly, there were two seats. And this person was seated. And Jesus came into the driver's seat. And the whole go-kart changed. It instantly became like a very slick-looking triangular car. Everything was still there, but it changes when Jesus was in the driver's seat. And what a difference between trying to drive your own life and allowing Jesus to be the driver. When you hear this vision, you could be thinking in your life, I'm not like that go-kart driver. You sure? Let me test whether you are driving your own go-kart or whether Jesus is your driver. Here are the tests. Number one, do you worry about your own life? Answer is yes, you are the driver. Number two, do you worry about your future and where you're going? If your answer is yes, you are the driver. Do you worry about your problems? Answer is yes, you're the driver. Because as long as you are the one who is driving, then it's your problem. If Jesus is the driver in your life, it is now His problem. So you hear the story and you say, oh, I'm not that go-kart person. Hopefully your answer to the first three questions was no. If your answer to the first three questions is yes, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Right. Jesus needs to be your Lord. And that's when I saw the fourth vision. And this time, Jesus was standing at the side, and it was like a door to a great and wonderful place. I could peer into the door, and it looks like the Garden of Eden through there. But over on this side were things that have destruction and famine and all kinds. But over the other side, the scenery was different, totally different. And Jesus was standing at the door. And everybody was walking past the door. And Jesus was standing at the door, and there were not many who were going in. I was wondering, why don't people go through the door? Why do they keep going on? And that was when Isaiah chapter 40 was given. Isaiah chapter 40. And it says here in verse 28 onwards, 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have none, have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and a young man shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then I realized the reason why many didn't want to enter is because everyone was rushing. And the only way to enter this place is you have to stand there and wait on Jesus before he can tell you to go in. And not many are willing to just wait there with Jesus. They just want to keep doing and rushing. And that's why part of humbling ourselves is recognizing that we have no more ownership of our own life. That is a good thing because it means you are no more ownership of the problems in your life. But many of us, think about it. If right now you're witnessing for Jesus and you're telling another person about Jesus for the first time, and of course, all the people of the world will have their own type of problems. Perhaps some of them have different types of problems. Some of them could have problems with finances, some of them problems with sicknesses, some of them problems with mental illnesses, some of them will be problem with the law, different types of problems. What is the message you would give to them? Of course, you will never tell them that when you accept Christ, all your problems will disappear, because that won't be true. But I know what you and I will share. You and I will tell them that when you make Jesus Christ your Lord, Jesus has the answer to every problem. And that if they make Jesus the Lord and their Savior, their problem becomes God's problem to solve for them. So we share the gospel to people that way. But let's turn around and look at the mirror. Do you tell that to yourself when you face problems? When you are already in Christ, why do so many Christians, some of them even turn away from Jesus, when they have problems? In the first place, I thought that they came to the kingdom of God because they want Jesus. So the world is a funny place and church is a funny place. Because sometimes in the church, you have people outside who have problems and they've been just witnessed to, and they're excited because Jesus is the Savior. Jesus died for the sin. Jesus is the answer to every problem. Jesus is God. Jesus is everything. And they're excited and they come to church because they got problems. And then those who have been too long, not in God's kingdom, but in churchianity, and on their way in, they meet a whole group of people going out. And they say, and the group going in says, ask those who are going out. And the group going out asks those who are going in, hey, why are you going in? Oh, I got problems. Jesus is the solution to all my problems. And then those who are going out were asked by those going in, hey, how come you're going out? Oh, I got problems and I'm going out. Hey, they both got the same problems. And one is going in because they found Jesus. The other is in Jesus. They got so many problems and they're going out. So what's the problem? The problem is Jesus is not Lord. Our modern Christianity has allowed people to make Jesus their Savior without making Jesus the Lord. And our modern Christianity, we always have what I call a capitalistic Christianity. We own everything and then we apportion it to God. But that's not true Christianity. Paul says we were bought with a price. If Jesus is our Lord, He owns you. He owns all your property. He owns all your time. He owns all your strength. That means if Jesus is Lord, we have become His born servants and slaves. Some people say, oh, you know, that's a bit too hard for the gospel. Let me explain that in the presentation of the gospel in the book of Romans chapter 7, which is supposed to be the epistle about the gospel that Paul preached, correct? In that same gospel, we are told in chapter 6 of Romans, that in verse 13, do not present your members as servants of unrighteousness to sin. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 16. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obey from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. He still calls us slaves. Now, of course, we understand we are sons of God, etc., etc., all the privileges, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Well, let me emphasize this. I think there's too much of Christianity emphasizing our capitalistic inheritance that we forgot that there's a whole part of Christianity that emphasizes our absolute servitude to God. He is our creator, we are only His creation. He is our Lord and Master, we are His slaves. Even Paul, the great apostle, says he is a born slave of God. In all truths, there must be balance. If you don't have balance, you cannot benefit from the truth. Every truth has two extremes. If you move to either extreme, the benefit of the truth doesn't become our inheritance. So on the one hand, we realize that all the blessings of God, everything that God created, all the cattle on a thousand hills, all the silver and gold are His, and we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We are the head and not the tail. We shall lend and we shall not borrow. We shall prosper. Everything. All these are the wonderful things about sonship, ownership, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. But if we are not taught to be slaves, and you receive all those things, you will not be a good steward. You will become sinful through your luxury. On the other hand, I realize that one can have too much teaching on slavery, that one, it becomes like the Israelites who come out from Egypt. Although they are no longer slaves, they still think like slaves. They became dependent upon Egypt. And they keep thinking of the leeks and garlics and the free food because they also work for free. Everything is taken care of for them. They just give of their time, their energy and everything. And so on the other hand, too much emphasis on that